everybody. How's it going? It's Nick Baldwin. This is the first episode of season two of Command Your Social. Welcome back to the show. It has been a couple months since we had an episode. This is the podcast where we talk to real estate professionals in the business who are doing amazing things on social media so you can just level up your social media game. And I want to introduce my new co-host, Rob Chubb. What's up, Rob?
What's up, Nick? I am happy to be here. This is very exciting.
Is it really?
It is. It's very exciting.
Tell everyone who's listening, because they're like, who's Rob Chubb? There's one person out there saying, oh, I know Rob. But then the other people are like, who's Rob? Who are you?
If my wife is listening, she's the one that says, I know who Rob is. But for those of you who don't, which is pretty much everyone, my name is Rob. I am a real estate agent. I've been an agent for 18 years. I am based out of Michigan. I've been a productivity coach for Keller Williams. I was a team leader for about 3 years, and now I am an OP. Our market center is top 200 in the company. Very proud of that. And I've got a wife, 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl, and we have 2 cats as well at home.
For those listening who may not know the Keller Williams lingo, OP is operating principal.
Yes, operating principal. So,
AKA owner.
Yes, yeah, a majority owner of the market center.
Awesome. How many agents do you have over there?
We have just over 300.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Very big market center. And we're happy to have you on the podcast. And Rob is also one of my business partners with Expand Coaching.
Very excited about that.
Find out more about Expand Coaching, go to theexpandcoaching.com. Make sure I got that right. Okay, so let's jump into it. We have an awesome guest today who's doing amazing things, not just on social media, but with her business and with charitable contributions. She runs a small but mighty real estate team covering the DC metro area. Last year, they sold just shy of $200 million in real estate with only 10 agents, which is pretty awesome. They're also known for giving back to the community. Last year alone, donated over $120,000 to local charities. But before I introduce Sheena Sadam, I just want to say the most important thing is that she's a sneaker addict.
Oh, boy.
Sheena, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. And thank you for mentioning that.
Well, I have to mention that you're a sneaker addict because so am I. And I just bought a new pair of Puma high tops a week.
Which, by the way, these Puma high tops are pretty sweet. He wore them to Mega Camp and I was very envious.
Yeah. So I am a Air Force One Puma high top. I do like a good running shoe, but what kind of sneakers are you into now, Sheena?
I'm really into Air Jordans, the mids. I have very narrow feet, high arches. So I always tell people, you know, it's important to get into the sneaker game. Like, it's important to start respecting that culture because it's so awesome.
Yes.
But it's also like important to have that comfort. And so if it's my feet, they just are made for my feet. And anything by, you know, Tinker Hatfield, he's like the famous Air Jordan designer. So I love any of his shoes. So I just got 2 or 3 pairs in the last month.
Let me ask you, because I feel like they're probably very expensive. Okay. Because you're like, I bought 2 or 3. What's the most expensive pair of shoes, expensive pair of sneakers you bought?
$230.
Oh, okay. That's not
so bad.
That's expensive, but not like, I thought you were going to say like $500 or $600 or something.
I grew up in a middle-class family. I started mowing lawns because I wanted the sneakers, but I still, you know, I'm still Jenny from the block. I'm still trying to keep it cool.
I love it. One of the other things about Sheena is that she majored in national security.
Yes.
In college. She was going to work for the CIA, but it didn't work out. But even if she did, she wouldn't be able to tell us, Rob.
Well, that's right. Or what would happen?
Right. What would happen if she told us bad things?
Yes.
So, but she majored in national security, but sells houses instead, you know?
That's an interesting transition.
I don't know how that, but anyway, let's get into it. Sheena, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. We're going to get into your social media strategies in a moment, but I'll let Rob kick it off.
Yeah. So Sheena, you've got 10 agents, and then you also have some virtual staff members as well, right? All in different states, and they're Army spouses. Is that right?
That's right. Every single one of them. Yeah.
Can you explain how that all works together? Because, and also I want to say, like, 200 million and 10 agents is incredible. I know agents with 4 times that amount of agents not doing that volume. So explain how this all comes together for us.
Thank you. And actually we have 10 agents now, but it was 8 when we did that. So I really, my hats off to the team. Like, every single person matters, and they've been just extraordinary. I think, and part of it, one little part is I figured out how to hire, which took a while to get good at it. Now I love it. I love hiring just as much as I used to love getting deals. So how does it all come together? I think communication, of course, is the biggest thing. I think it was interesting when COVID happened and everybody had to close their doors and nobody was going out to meet folks, and they had to start using Zoom. And I started to hear, actually in Gary's top 100 agent group, a lot of people were saying, I'm not getting great production out of my staff working virtually. I think I'm going to let them all go. And my heart broke, because when I dug in with the questions, it was that many of these women were young women and they had little kids to take care of. And so I thought to myself, gosh, these guys that are saying these things, I think they're not fully understanding the situation that's happening. I have 3 little kids just like you. I have 2 boys and a girl, all elementary school age and younger. And we had no daycare. We had no parents to take care of our kids. So you're trying to work full time while with kids. And so I asked them to come on a phone call, and I got on a phone call and I said, hey, we've been doing this whole Zoom thing forever, and it does take a little bit getting used to. But the thing is, I think you need to lead. You can't just expect them to come into the situation and just change their entire lifestyle and figure it out. You, as the leader of this group, have to help, first of all, understand what their situation is and help them figure out a schedule that might work for them. And it may take a little bit going back and forth. It's an evolution to figure out how that's all going to work. But I did have sort of that privilege of already experiencing the pains that come with virtual working that we kind of understood in. And a lot of it is just, you know, the beginning of the week, having that communication about what needs to get done. And then they're reporting back on it. I don't like to overload with meetings. I think you set the standard. And if the job gets done, great. If it doesn't get done, you know, inspect it, have a conversation about it. And after a few weeks, if it's still not happening, you may have to cut ties. So hire slowly, fire quickly, as they say.
With your virtual staff members, are these like the traditional VAs, or these are like people, like where are they located? How did you find them?
It's a good question. So the first one was about 6 or 7 years ago. I was just on my own solo agent, and I was looking for the cheapest way to get some administrative assistance. I found this company that supposedly trained TCs. Turns out they didn't do much training, but the person I got connected with had worked with many Keller Williams agents. So she kind of, you know, knew what she was doing. She was actually in North Carolina at the time, military spouse, in her early 20s. So I worked with her for about a year, almost exclusively. That company lied, cheated, stole. And so by the end of that year, we ended our contract. She ended and I took her over, and she was my TC and EA for a few years. She has now grown into the director of operations. She has moved several times. I live in DC. She lives in Texas. My executive assistant lives in Kentucky. No, now she lives in West Virginia. They're always moving. So,
wow.
But that woman, Callie, who started the first one, there was another Army spouse who lived next to her, and she would come over and take care of her kids. And she would like look at her computer and go, what are you doing? And so she told her about it, and we needed more coverage. So she trained her, and then she became our next TC. And then we put the word out. We put it out on like Facebook groups, a lot of military Facebook groups. Hey, looking for somebody extremely detail oriented, wants to work from home, can work their own hours, must be highly responsive. No one beyond that first person, no one has ever had any experience in real estate. I like it that way. As long as they have the personality for it and the gumption, it works really well, because they tend to be very loyal. They tend to be super motivated. They tend to be able to make more money with us than they would at any other job, where they're going to have to move in, you know, 6 months to a year. And they also have all those benefits, right? They have those healthcare benefits and things like that. So it tends to work out pretty well.
I love that. Well, because you come from a military family, I love that you're doing your part, you know, to give back by hiring military spouses. I just think that that's so cool because, you know, like you said, they're moving around a lot and it can be hard to hold down a job when you're doing that. And you're giving them massive opportunity, which I just wanted to commend you for doing that. So let's just get into your social strategy, which it's a little bit different than most that we've learned about on the show. Like most people, most agents are like, oh, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this at all. But they're like, you know, I have a content day, or like I record X amount of TikToks, and, you know, I figure out what I'm going to make a video of next. And yours is just very human, right? It's prospecting based, but in a really fun way. Yeah. And your goal is to help your agents net $100,000. If they net more, great. Mm-hmm. But can you explain the process? Cause it's like posting on Facebook certain times a week, you know, adding so many Facebook friends, interacting with so many people, starting a Facebook group. So talk about like the posting on Facebook, how many times a week, and what do you suggest that they post?
Yeah, absolutely. So these numbers I'm going to give you are pre-shift. So I would say add 25%, maybe 50% to all these numbers.
Okay.
Not going to do that. Not going to do that math because, you know, policy, national
security. So that would be Carrie, the one.
Exactly. I'm not going to do that math for you all.
You're not math majors. It's okay.
Yeah. My husband is an aerospace engineering major.
We'll bring him on the show. We need to figure him out next.
Yeah. We'll get him
together.
On
we are one great agent. So when I went back to see what I had done, cause you know, you just get on it, you're entrepreneurial, you just start hitting it with you just start going on there and posting content. I think what, so we can get to what the actual content is in a bit, but sort of as the standard, what we have said is, I was posting 10 times a week, and this is Facebook personal Facebook profile. People always ask at the end, oh, is it the page? No, I always say to people, look, the page can be useful, but I always ask, what are your two favorite brands? And I always say Nike and Lululemon. And then I ask, once you say your two favorite brands, think about how often you go to the Facebook pages for those brands. Probably not super frequently. So, and I think the way Facebook is moving, they really are focusing on the personal touch and the personal, because that's where the algorithms are paying for them. So we really focus on your personal profile. So posting 10 times a week, which would be 2 times a day, 5 times a week, at least. Also adding 7 Facebook friends a week. How do you do that? There's all kinds of ways to do it. They give you the suggested friends, go for it. Don't just kick out the fear. We're talking, if you add a Facebook friend and you continue to give content and love through your Facebook, that's like $10,000 you're leaving on the table because you're fearful of hitting that, add that person who's loosely connected to you, which what's the worst can happen? They'll be like, oh, I don't know you. No, like, okay, keep going, right? Like you got to get a little uncomfortable. So adding 7 friends, then there's also like having the events and that sort of thing, which we can talk about, but doing whatever you can to add 7 Facebook friends is going to be really key. And then we require 75 touches in a week. What does that look like? Old school way, you know, I used to hear people say, you got to call 75, 100 people. I don't know. I just turned 40 and nobody picks up the phone. If they pick up the phone, it's because they think I'm about to die. Right. I think you all heard that joke before.
You're like, clearly stuck in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I just wanted to see if you knew anyone behind us. It's not like, no. And most of the time, even if they think that you're dying, it's just like, they're going to text you back, right? So everything okay? Are you dying? So when I say touches, this can be a Facebook private message. It can be a text message. It can be a phone call if you want it to be. It can be go get coffee, you know, maybe bring 5 people and buy 5 people instead of 1 person. Or it can mean just commenting on somebody's posts, because if you want the algorithms to work for you, you can't just be posting, right? For me, posting is really important. It's like your billboard, and you're putting your words out there to influence folks, right? But you also, if you're trying to build a relationship, you can't just be talking all the time. You can't just be saying how you feel. You need to also interact. So every morning I wake up and I go through my newsfeed and I comment, like, I don't do it insincerely. Like if you post something and I'm like, well, that's complete garbage, or that's a really horrible thing to say, I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to post, you know, I'm going to comment on it. And I do that about 6 times a day. So for me, it's like, I get to walk into a little party multiple times a day and interact with people and give them value, love on them. If they're like, oh, I'm sick today. Okay. Maybe I'll send you some chicken noodle soup, or, you know, maybe you couldn't sleep last night. Let me, you know, cause you just had a baby. Let me send you some caffeine, you know, some Starbucks gift cards. So there's so many opportunities to bring value to people's lives. And that's just kind of how we see it. When I teach my class, I always say, we're not looking for buyers and sellers. We're looking for human beings to whom to give value. And with that, you have just this broad population of people. So it's those things. And then the last thing is creating a Facebook group, some kind of niche, probably geographic based, your city, your county, your neighborhood, even if there's already a Facebook page, a Facebook group that's super interactive and posting to it religiously. I post to mine 2 to 6 times a day. You know, you're not going to post it 6 times a day to start. You're going to build up to it, but there's all kinds of opportunity to feed that thing and love on people.
So I have a few questions here. What I hear all the time is the personal versus the business. How much stuff do I post that's my personal life versus real estate related? So what is your ratio on that?
It's a good question. I think anecdotally, I'd say on an average day, maybe 25% is real estate based. And if I do post about real estate, it's usually kind of an indirect message, right? Like, what do you guys think? Like, you know, what do you guys think of this house? You know, I'll post like a beautiful photo or video, and then I'll say something like, you know, we can help you in any part of the country. I swear, every time I post that, I get at least one lead from it. Like, not even a lead. I get business from it. So do that as often as possible.
And then, so if I'm a rainmaker, I'm listening to this podcast, I'm like, okay, the agents on my team, is this what you hold them accountable to as well? These same metrics?
It's a good question. So about 4 years ago, we had like a team, a real team, a bunch of agents. And I was listening to, I was trying to just get all this leadership, all this standards, all this information to build these systems out to make us the most productive team. And when it came to the goal of creating a productive team, it worked. I had agents, people coming on my team who'd never sold a home. They were making $200,000 in their first year. And 3 or 4 of them went, peace out at the end of the year. I was not listening when they kept saying, I can't do anymore. I don't know if I can do anymore. Cause I kept thinking, what a gift. I keep giving you business. You're getting 80 or 90% of your business from me. You're doing, you know, higher dollar deals than you would when you would have done yourself. I mean, you know, you started at a low price point when you're starting out. So I felt like I was providing such a gift. We have all of this administrative help. And then that was an awakening when I had basically 4 people on my team. Honestly, like the personality match, it was a bit toxic. So, we had to start over about 4 years ago. And part of that was these standards of like, not only do you have to take on all these clients I'm giving you, but you have to prospect, you have to do the 10 posts, you have to do all these things. We were like slave drivers. I mean, it was not good. I felt like we were doing all the things we were being told to do. We weren't listening to our people. So that was the beginning. That was the end. And that was the beginning. Now, that is our standard. And by standard, I mean, when people come on our team, we're going to teach you how to fish. And if you don't want to fish, that's actually okay, because we bring in so much business. We've been lucky and worked so hard that this model really works. I bring in anywhere between 68% to 85% of the business now through me having cultivated all this on social media and in person, that I don't need anybody to fish. If they want to do more than the 12 deals, they're going to have to fish. So then we have that standard that they can use it if they would like, but there's no requirement. We're not going to kick you off the team if you don't do it, because what we know is this: if you take extraordinary care of your client, if we give you all the tools, we take all the administrative stuff off your plate, you're going to get business from that. So
that makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense, in that so many team leaders or rainmakers, they have their goals and their expectations, and they're not meeting the agent at where that agent is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes meeting the agent where they are will get them to blow through their goals, right? Like, I really only want to do 12 deals a year. Okay, great. So if you want to do 12 deals a year, here's what you have to do. Oh, I want to do 20 deals a year. Great. If you want to do 20 deals a year, here's what you have to do. So just like meet them where they're at, and everybody's happy.
Yes. It sounds simple.
I just figured it out for you. Just meet them where they're at, and you'll explode.
We're done here.
Yeah, we're done. End of story. Thank you. That's my coaching session for the day.
There we go.
But in all actuality, there is a lot of focus on what the rainmaker wants and not really what the agents want, you know?
Yeah.
So I dig that. So you mentioned earlier, well, actually, let me go back to this. So the content, like if your agents are doing this, like what kind of content, because they, listen, posting 10 times a week, that's a lot. You got to think about what to post. How do you help them with that?
Yeah. So one way that we help with it, and I know this is going to be real estate based, but you know, is we have a very abundant mindset on my team. So if I'm posting something like, oh, we're, you know, so happy that this, I mean, I'm out of production. I've been out of production for about 5 years, but my husband does a lot of listings. So if I have a picture listing and I'm like, oh, our clients just closed on this home in Potomac, let's say, super excited for them, tell a little story. And I post it. Every single agent on my team should be taking that and posting it. Our clients did this, our clients. So if they're brand new to the team or if they've been here for a while, they get that. And they know there is no problem with them stealing every single person on our team's posts are like that. So this is our mindset. And I think it does. I just love what it does. It breeds like a positive, you know, competition, but it breeds a lot of support within the team. So right there, if we're closing, you know, over 300 deals, that's almost a home a day, right? So there's always like that kind of content. At least once a month, I will look at the numbers and put together some kind of market update. And I put it in really digestible, interesting terms. I think one of the things that people do on Facebook that is a real missed opportunity is they'll say all the statistics. Even if it's just one thing, it's like, oh, days on market is this, and now it's this, or they'll put those graphics up. They don't translate that for people. If you're just posting it, you're not helping anybody. You have to say what, no one knows what it means when you say 10 days on market or 30 days on market. They're not in the industry. You have to break this down for people. So saying the days on market has gone from this, and that matters to you because of this buyer, if you're a buyer, if you're a seller. So that's really key. As far as other things, you know, I think I have set an example, and so it comes easier to some than others, but I have set an example of like, if you're living, like if you're existing, like you have stories to tell. So what you're eating, people think that that's just silly, but I know you guys know, like, it's not silly. Like people want to be inspired by ideas. People want to, you know, grow their mind as to what foods are out there and what, you know, I'm about to go buy an air fryer. I put this in my mom's Facebook group, and my mom Facebook group, and people went wild. Like, oh, this food. So I got a lot of engagement and got people excited. I do like to read a lot. And I think that's rubbed off on a few of our team members. So I think quite a bit of them. And so we'll just, you know, we'll get a book, read it, and post a synopsis of it.
I love the book that she grabs. Oh. Is
the book that you grab. If you're listening and not watching, hold that up again.
Oh.
It says assholes. A what? Assholes, a what? A theory?
Yeah. What does it mean for someone to be an asshole? The answer is not obvious, despite the fact that we're often stuck dealing with them. We try to avoid them. Asshole management begins with asshole understanding.
Wow.
So
what's that say in red words underneath there?
A theory.
Oh, a theory. Asshole's a theory. I have to read that.
Yeah, that sounds.
I live in like, I hope this doesn't sound boastful. Like I live in a very like educated area. Like it's like a competition who can be like more educated. Like when, like after that, it really is. It's like after I, cause it's like the government, right? Like everyone's trying to,
yeah,
like
punch the top. There's a lot of smart people where you are.
Yeah.
And so basically there's a lot of assholes.
There are a lot of assholes, but I moved to this town after undergrad. I moved to this place called Bethesda, Maryland, which is right outside of DC. Mm-hmm. And I read on Wikipedia, I don't know why I was looking at this, 86% of the people had master's degrees. So I was like, well, I have to get a master's degree. And actually it turned out, once I got my master's degree, I was the least educated person in my department at the nonprofit I was working in. So I was laid off. And then I went into real estate. But wow. So I say that to say, these books I got yesterday from a little local library in my neighborhood, we had 8 little libraries in my neighborhood. So I'm like never, I mean, the books in my, like never end. Like this is what I read.
So you, okay. So the little library boxes on the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We have those too. So you get these from the little box.
Yeah. I get so many of them. Like, look, this is what I just pulled some of my favorite ones. Most of these I got from the little library.
Are those business related books?
Nick and I were just talking about this. I very rarely read business related, more like history, psychology. I just feel like I needed to open my mind after reading so many business and self-help. It's like, mm-hmm. I just needed a bigger worldview, you know?
If you have to read self-help books every week, then
well, that's a different podcast.
There's a deeper issue there. Yeah. So tell us what you read a book a week.
Yes.
What are you reading right now? You just finished a book.
Hang on, before we get into that. Hang on. So you read a book a week. So I want the people to hear this because you're running a $200 million team and you've got 10 assistants in different states and you've got 3 kids and you still read a book a week. So how do you read a book a week with everything else you have going on?
Mm-hmm. That is a group effort. Not that someone reads to me. So my friends say that to me all the time whenever I go with real estate.
My question is, how do you read? No, I'm kidding.
Well, that's a question people always ask me, like, how do you read so quickly? I didn't always read so quickly. I have always been a reader, but I read so much that I think it's like runners. I'm not a runner, but you know how runners, like, they'll run, so they just end up running. So I think if you read, you just become better at reading. You're more efficient.
Yeah.
I always have books with me. Like, look how gross this book is. I took it on vacation. Like, there's medicine all over it. I always have books on me. I always have something to write in them so I can get through. I always, like, if I like something mm-hmm. in it, I will do this to the bottom. And then that is used for Facebook posts because I find a good quote.
There you go.
Now we're bringing it all back around.
Yeah, it comes full circle.
I read books. I just wrote a class. I read a lot about civil rights movement. And I think it has a lot to teach us about how to create mission-driven companies. Mm-hmm. So I just wrote a class on that based on a bunch of books that I've
read. You know, you should read, speaking of, read Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. Am I botching that? Probably botching the title. Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man by Emmanuel Acho. He's a football player.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Great book.
I emailed myself. Thank you.
Yes. And it's not very long, which is what I like.
Okay, so now tell us what book you're reading.
Actually, I'm going to read one of these four. I just finished that book that I didn't love, so I probably shouldn't talk about it. I'm going to read the asshole book, I think. And then I'm going to read Traction, which I think a lot of people have read. I read a long time ago.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's supposed to be amazing.
I've heard of that.
Systems book. But you asked how I read. So when I talk about, like, it's just leverage, right? Like, so sounds so easy, right? But my husband did come on the team and learn the business a few years ago. And so he's really taken on a lot of the listings and also the COO role. Mm-hmm. And our director of operations, who has just grown and grown and grown. And, you know, I come up with ideas and she creates them. It's like that perfect. What's that book that Hergen Roth are in is?
It's I talk about it all the time too. Shoot. Rocket Fuel.
Not Rocket Fuel, but just like it.
Wait, is it the one that Hergen Roth wrote?
Yes.
Oh.
Hergen Roth.
I don't know the name of that one.
The something in the implementer. The...
No,
the,
I you know.
The visionary and the integrator. Is that Adam's book?
Hold on. I'm going to look it up while we're talking.
Why don't you look it up for us, Nick?
Adam Hergen Roth wrote, Founder and Force Multiplier.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It's very similar to Rocket Fuel. I think it's just more real estate, a little deeper. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is, right? Like, I come up with these ideas and I have my team handle them. And if I'm like, okay, I need to add on this new program, I'll just go out and hire somebody. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, I have to hire a full-time person. No, there are people that want to work 2 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours a week. And I found a lot of people like that. So a bunch of our people are part-time. They work 10, 15, 20 hours and they have kids. So that works.
Sheena also has someone who walks behind her all day reading from a book.
What's that?
You could have Sheena a virtual.
Sheena has hired someone who follows her around all day, just reading from a book.
I can see you hiring another person and just have the Bluetooth in your ear and they can just read to you all day long. And that would be.
Or you leverage. Could just do a book on tape or Audible. Do they have books on tape anymore? I don't think so.
It's not 1980. Anyways.
They didn't have tapes in the Yes, they did. Oh, yeah. When did they have 8-tracks? Okay, we're going off.
Yeah, 70s, but that's right. Okay.
My bad.
Yeah, showing our ages here.
My bad.
Can we shift gears for a minute?
Rob, enough. Yeah. Listen, get serious.
Let's get back on track with the show. So let's shift gears for a minute. So you're involved in something which helps other business owners build businesses that are mission-driven called Imagination Generation, right?
Yes.
All right, can you tell us about that?
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you for bringing that up. So basically, I think one of the things that really fuels our business is that we come from a place of trying to give back to the community and charity. I worked in nonprofit for years and years before I got into real estate. Of course, my parents were in the military. So there's a lot of sacrifice there. So I think it always was like a duty to give back. And at first I was just writing checks, right? Like when I was making this money, like I sold 2 houses and made as much as I made the whole year. In my nonprofit job. So, and I had almost $100,000 in student loan debt. So, did pay that off before the forgiveness, but it's all good. I am happy for everybody, seriously. So that was kind of like how we grew this thing. It actually happened. I went to this women's empowerment event and I met this couple and they were serving the homeless. They had been serving the homeless for many years in Baltimore. And they said, one of the things we need is a safe, clean place to get a shower. So they want to build a shower truck for the homeless. So I said, we'll get behind that. That began this thing where like, I ended up helping them to create a board, helping them raise money, donating money. We built the first shower truck for the homeless in Baltimore. It took about 3 years. I was posting about it on social media. I was bringing folks together, you know, really smart folks who had their specialties in finance and law and all these things.
The smart people in your neighborhood.
Yeah. And outside of it, but yeah, like when everybody has a gift, whether it's, you know, it doesn't even have to be being a lawyer, but being a teacher, how much do you have to give people, right? Or even a mechanic, your brain works in different ways. So bringing specialists together to build that. So bringing all these things to a nonprofit and giving them sort of this platform, because we had a platform and we had all these people, right? I always say you should leverage your network for good. And we are building networks. And this is the way that you can stay in contact with people, because when you're doing the kind of work that has no end, supporting these charities for the homeless, for sickness, for whatever, your content has no end. You always have things to post about because there's always this pain you're trying to deal with. So my thinking was like, could we help other businesses grow in that way and really lead more meaningful lives and jump out of bed every morning ready to do real estate because you're feeding this amazing thing? And so I talked to Kristen Francis in my area, DC metro area, because she is like kind of a similar feeling on that. And we built out this idea, this strategy, this platform, this movement, where we want to teach other agents throughout the country how to build businesses like this, where you can build a business entirely by referral. We've never bought a lead, never made a cold call. We're just continuing to give value. So we've been teaching a lot of classes. Now we're going to bring our classes together. We hope to do all sorts of things, maybe even write some books, but really teach folks how they can do things similar to what we do and give back at a higher level.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, giving is definitely a central part of what your team does. And it's resulted in the creation of countless clean water drinking wells in Africa, the first library for local maximum security prison, a school for 80 girls in Kenya, which is what you're working on now.
Yeah.
If you go to Sadam Properties, SAYDAM properties.com, it's like a home search site merged with a nonprofit organization. It's such a cool looking site with everything that you guys are doing. So can you explain a little bit more detail of how your team, in addition to selling 300 homes a year, is accomplishing these types of goals?
Yeah. So I think part of it, you know, when people come on, I think now people come to us to join our team, right? Because they're like, we heard what you're doing. There's a lot of teams out there. There's a lot of great agents out there, but we love this give back. So it pushes them to go harder and like work a little bit harder and love on their people more, because they know that we have more to give than just our awesome real estate experiences. So I think obviously that, because the money is needed in order to make those donations. With things like that shower truck, you know, like I said, when you start getting involved with this stuff, the needs never end. So we built the shower truck. People start coming to the shower truck. It's August in Baltimore. It's sweaty. It's gross. And people would go in the shower truck. They have not showered in 4 weeks. They go in, they come out, they're wearing the same clothes. Can you imagine going to the gym and putting your underwear back on?
Mm-hmm.
So I was
horrible. I mean, no, I can't imagine. I said,
Nick said yes, but he, yeah.
Sometimes I shower twice a day. So to think that they haven't showered for 4 weeks and they're putting on, especially women, you know, putting the same underwear back on. A lot of those women we learned were like cleaning their underwear in gas station bathrooms. So they don't have, you know, the things they need for their menstrual cycle either. So there's a lot going on that it took a lot of learning to understand all that was needed. So I go back to my community and I'm like, hey, we need brand new underwear. We need clothing. We need socks. We need shoes. And so that got my whole community like really empowered to give more. I live in a pretty well-to-do neighborhood now, and they want to do good. They just don't know how. They're also busy. We got to make it easy for them. And so it ends up being like reverse Popeyes. And then our team does the same thing. They reach out to their communities and get all these things. We also have had countless people who have bought and sold with us. People and people from our community come down to help at the shower truck. We also feed kids in Southeast DC once a month. So our team gets together for that. The maximum security prison, it was like probably the simplest thing, but probably the thing that I was the most proud of, despite it being simple. I had read this book called The Master Plan by Chris Wilson. He is a African-American Black man who was in prison and he was released. And I read the story. He walks out and he's got like no winter coat on. And it's like winter time. A lot of these people, if you don't have family, like this is why they end up homeless, because there's nobody to support them. People wonder like, oh, what, these people need to get their lives together. Well, now you have a record, so you can't get a job and you don't have any winter clothes. So you might die in the street. You don't have any food. They give you like a $50 gift card, at least here. But he was saying like he had read a lot while he was, he read what he could get his hands on. He had like another family that was sending him books, but there was no library at this prison in Maryland. So I reached out, I went to all the Facebook groups locally and I said, send us your favorite brand new book. And we're going to build the first library for this maximum security prison. Because why not? They're not doing much in the prison, right? Like, why not make this productive and give them something to look forward to and learn and become better? Better, right? And so within like 2 weeks, we had over 1,000 books.
Wow.
Yeah. We brought them all over there. We needed the Chris Wilson Library. And I wish I had more for that story, but it's the prison system is, y'all, it is. It's a mess.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no pictures like beyond us carrying it into the prison. They won't like, it's just, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. We're now building a school for girls in sub-Saharan Africa, in Kenya. And that came together with donations. You know, I went on social media, told people what we were doing, told the story. We like to have a lot of parties where we raise money for charity. So that's how we get things done.
Well, you just also outlined all of the content that your agents can use for posting on social media too. I mean, there is just endless amounts of good going on here that they should be bragging about, in my opinion, you know? So that's something that, I'm going to join your team, Sheena.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to join virtually.
Right. Of course. You could be the book reader.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll read you a story every night.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Dark Matter.
Once upon a time. Yeah. So, well, listen, this has been a really great conversation. Covered a lot of topics. I learned a lot. I know Rob was taking lots of notes over there, which he'll share with me, because I can't take notes and talk and listen at the same time. I'm just not that. It's my ADD all over the place. But thank you for being here, Sheena. We hope that you enjoyed yourself. We did. Rob, did you? I'm talking for you. I don't even know if you enjoyed yourself or not.
I had a horrible time, actually. No, okay, I had a great time. This has been great. Thank you so much for joining us. And if anybody's listening and you have referrals, make sure you send them to Sheena.
Yes, in the DC metro area, 100%, and send her your books. She needs to continue reading.
And send her your donations for all of the stuff she's doing. It's amazing. You know, I just, last thought from my end here is just hearing all of these extra things you're doing on top of real estate. Real estate is such a great vehicle for other things, and you're really living it. And I think now more than ever, we need to be drawn to like a cause, right? So it's obviously attracting into your business for both agents and customers. So great job. Keep it up.
Thank you. I'm coming to Michigan. I got
to send you. She's coming to Michigan. She's going to teach at the Lansing Market Center. Why don't you get her to teach at yours?
Oh, we might have to make this a twofer.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's work it out.
And yeah, for sure. Get Rob, get in touch with her. And if you want more information on Expand Coaching, you want to improve your technology know-how, visit theexpandcoaching.com. Rob and I can help you. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and subscribe, follow, share it with your friends, leave us a comment, do all the things, smash that subscribe button, hit that like, hit that bell for notifications. That's what they say on YouTube.
That's what the kids say.
That's what they say on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everybody. Have an amazing day. We'll see you on the next one.